Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If I was to begin a sentence, Jesus is, finish it for me.
Love.
Sorry?
Love.
Right. Jesus is, what else? Come on.
The Lord.
The Lord, right. Okay, what else?
Coming again.
Jesus is?
Love.
My Savior.
I love that, right. Jesus is my Savior, yes. What else?
King of Kings.
King of Kings.
Lord
of. Right. Are you looking in front of you? Jesus is?
The Master.
Right. I'm going to talk about that this morning. The word master thing, when I was a wee boy and went to school, you didn't have a teacher. You had a master, a schoolmaster, or a mistress, a schoolmistress. The word master, well, if you've got a master's degree, that means you're supposed to know everything there is to know about your subject.
I have one of those that's not true, Derek.
We have the captain of a ship. He's the master of the ship. The master of Mishenka Road. The master of an Orange Lodge. He's the guy at the top. This is a really, really wonderful word. And in Luke's gospel, Luke is the only gospel writer who uses that title of Jesus. And it appears 6 times throughout Luke's gospel. And I don't think we'll maybe get any further than 3 of them this morning. But each time that word appears in Luke's gospel, there's a particular lesson that we can learn. So we're going to look at the first place that it appears, and it appears in Luke chapter 5. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to read the first 5 verses of Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a cast." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." The lesson: he's the master, so we ought to obey him. You got that?
Yes.
Now just let's think about the story for a moment or two. Here's Peter. He has been out fishing all night and caught nothing. I know what that's like because fishing's my hobby. So I know how that feels. If you've been fishing for hours and hours and hours and you caught nothing, you really get fed up. And there's only one thing you want to do, is go home and put your fishing gear away and lay down somewhere. That's just all you want to do. Peter is, he's going to be tired, he's fed up, he had worked all night, he had put to use all his skills as a fisherman, and he had nothing to show for it. And here's the master saying, "Let's go out fishing again." And it means we must obey the master no matter how we feel. I'm absolutely sure Peter did not feel like going out fishing again. But we must obey him because he's the master, no matter how we feel. That's why he protested. He said, "Look," he says to Jesus, "we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything." It's almost as if he's saying, what's the use? But no matter how we feel, if the master says it, what do?
You have to do it.
You have to do it. Good on you, Alec. You have to do it. If the master says it, you got to do it. No matter how you feel. And no matter what you may think. Peter obeyed. This is an amazing thing to me. Peter obeyed this even though he saw absolutely no meaning in that command. It was to seem to him like a fruitless exercise. No fisherman in his right mind would go out fishing with the sun, the morning sun, shining on the glint of the waters of the lake, because he would know that's where there's never going to be fish. It went against all his experience. But the master said it. So you do it. No matter how you feel, and no matter what you think. And no matter when he speaks. It was an awkward time for Peter to be asked to do this. I suppose we could say, Jesus, your timing could be a wee bit better. Yeah, I'll go out again, but not now. Not now. But you see, when the master speaks, he knows the right time. And if we wait for a perfect set of circumstances before we obey the Lord, we will most likely never obey him at all. The word of the master should be sufficient reason in itself to motivate us to do what he says. Let's apply that a wee bit to ourselves. Why should we pray?
For God's help.
Yeah. But why should we do it? Come on. Yes. But also, come on, because the master said it. He told us to do it. Why should we pray for our enemies?
Because the master tells us.
Because the master tells us. Not because we feel like it. Because the truth be told, sometimes what we would pray for our enemies would not be very, very helpful. Why should we preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus? Why?
Because the master tells us.
Because the master told us to. Because he says to. Why should we observe the Lord's table and take the bread and wine?
Because the Lord tells us.
Exactly. Why should Christians get baptized?
Because the Lord tells us.
Oh boy, this message is going good. We're getting it there, aren't we?
Yes.
That's why. Why should you repent of your sins and get saved? Yeah. That's why. It's enough that the master says it. And you know the amazing, I didn't read the rest of the story, but you know the rest of the story, don't you? Whenever Peter went out and he did what the Lord told him, what happened?
He caught loads of fish.
Oh, I'm going fishing tomorrow, so but I don't think I'll catch as many fish as Peter did that night. Look, whenever you obey the Lord, let me tell you, in obeying the Lord, there is great blessing. And I've mentioned all these things, but then there's other. I mean, you and I know if we're reading God's word and if we're listening to what God is saying to us, there are times when he speaks into our hearts and he tells us what he wants us to do. And we know what he wants us to do. You know, what needs to happen when you're reading God's word and God's spirit is prompting you to do something. You need to just do it. Why? Because he's the master. You got that?
Yes.
Good. We'll move on to the second place that it appears. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to turn over and I'm going to read from verse 22 to 25. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. And in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Listen, because he's the master, we ought to obey him, yes? What is this? Yes. We ought to
trust him.
The whole lesson in this passage is about faith, about trust. And there's an interesting thing in Luke's gospel, and if you ever read through it and just look at different places where it underlines the connection between faith and blessing. I haven't got time for us to look them all up here this morning, but if you're writing down in Luke chapter 5 and verse 20, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 9, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 50, Luke 8, 48, 17 verse 19, and 18 verse 42. In all those places, it talks about the connection between faith and blessing. Faith is the conduit of God's power and God's blessing. It's instrumental in releasing God's power. So let's get back to this story here. Here are the disciples, okay? And they're in a boat. They're doing what Jesus wanted them to do. He said, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they get in the boat and they go with him. They're in the path of obedience. They're obeying God. They're obeying Jesus because he's the master. They had his presence with them in the boat. But the storm came just the same. And he was sleeping. And they might have been obeying him at this point in time, but they weren't trusting him. And they had to learn this lesson. To trust in the Master, no matter what our circumstances are. Did you get the picture, really? I mean, have you ever been in a sinking boat? I remember as a wee boy being in a sinking boat once in Newcastle, in a rowing boat in a pond. And not a nice experience. But this was different. This was out on the lake. And they're crying out, "Master, we're going to drown. It's all over. We're sinking. We're not going to make it through." You You see, faith doesn't evade danger. Faith helps us to confront the dangers and the difficulties that life throws at us. Like these disciples, we will often be tossed on rough seas. We will often be thinking this boat is going to sink. But the truth is that we are safer in the storm that God sends us than the people of the world are in the calm. We can trust him because he's the master, no matter what our circumstances are. Look, this morning, I don't know what you're going through. I know what I'm going through. But you know what you're going through, and you know the troubles and the difficulties and the things that are going on in your life. And I want to encourage you this morning, if Jesus is your master, then you can trust him. He will get you through the storm. He will get you through the difficulty. No matter what your circumstances are, and no matter how scared you are. Look, these disciples were scared out of their minds. They were afraid. And I venture to suggest if you'd been in that boat, you would have been afraid too. And I'm sure there are times whenever we go through life and we get into the difficulties and the storms, and the truth is we fear the worst. But look, let me assure you, you can trust the Master. And that's what he challenged them about. He said, look, where's your faith? Where's your faith? You've called me Master, Master, but do you trust me to get you through this? It must have been an awesome experience. Just to be in that boat. 1 minute, it's all over, we're going to drown. And the next minute, calm. The storm's gone. The waves have calmed down. The wind has stopped blowing. And he does it with a word. There used to be a chorus I used to sing years ago. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Maybe it's difficult to smile at the storm, but with Christ in the vessel, you can get through the storm as we go sailing home. Look, we can cry out to our Master in the middle of the storm. And we can trust him to get us through. Why? Because he's the master. And even the wind and the waves have to obey him. So whatever you're going through, Jesus is your master. Trust him to see you through it. That's the second place. Yeah, we'll get three done. Let me read Luke chapter 8 again on verses 43 to 48. This is a story about a woman. A woman, Jesus was on his way and the crowds had almost crushed him. And a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Jesus is a different kind of master. Because even though he's the master, he doesn't sit aloof from ordinary people. He's being crowded around him. And here's an amazing thing to me. I want you to get the picture of this wee woman. I have in my mind a picture of this wee woman who is as pale as death. She's been bleeding for 12 years. Who is bent over with a burden. She has spent all that she has, and she's been in to every doctor in the country. Nobody could help her. And she draws near to Jesus, the master of the universe. And yet she can come near to Jesus and reach out and touch him and have her personal needs met. The lesson I want to get across from this is this. As master, you can draw near to him, whoever you are. This woman was poor. She was unimportant. To the Jewish people, she was unclean. They looked down their noses at her. They would pass her by. They would have nothing to do with her. But she can come to Jesus. And he heals her. The amazing thing about the master is this, that another one of the titles that was used of him, even by his enemies, was that he was the receiver of sinners, the friend of sinners. Now, you have to understand this. Jesus was on his way to save a dying girl. And yet, he takes time for this poor, in the eyes of the world, insignificant, unimportant woman. Can I tell you that no matter who you are, Jesus cares about you. The Master has time for you. And you can come to him. He is not unapproachable. Sometimes there are people and you sort of find them a bit unapproachable and you say, "Oh, I would never talk to them. I couldn't. But look, you can come to Jesus. You can draw near to him. No matter who you are. Maybe you sort of look at your life and you say, "Derek, you don't know the things I have done. You don't know the things that I've got involved in. You don't know don't need to know. Jesus knows, and yet you can come to him just as you are. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what the state of your life in the present, you can draw near to him. And you can draw near to him not only whoever you are, but wherever you are. I know what it's like in Belfast. But if you want to get an appointment with a doctor in Carrickfergus, you could maybe get to see the Queen quicker. You phone up, want an appointment, and they tell you, well, the books are not opened yet for next week, but or next month. So phone up, and you phone up, and you get an appointment maybe 2-3 weeks away. Well, truth is, you could be dead by then. You know what I mean? It's hard to get an appointment. But with Jesus, you don't need an appointment. You can meet with him wherever you are. You can come to him at any time and any place. And the New Testament underlines that to us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find help in time of need. Any time, any place, you can come to Jesus. She didn't attempt to stop him on his way. I wish I could draw. I would love to draw a picture of this poor wee woman just reaching out her hand. I can almost see it trembling as she tries to just reach out and touch the hem of his clothing. You can reach out and touch Jesus anytime, any place. Whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever your need is. To some people, this woman's needs may have seemed trivial, but it was important to her. She had reached the end of her resources. This is a time of need. And she reaches out. She didn't say anything. Didn't speak. And Jesus is aware even of her gentle touch, her mute appeal. Without words, she just reached out to Jesus. And you can't help but notice, and Peter, when he uses the word master, he calls attention to the fact, the contrast between the pressure of the crowd. I mean, this was a crowd he was in, and there was all these people pressing against him. And Peter saying, Master, you know, there's a crowd here. How can you say you touch me? Everybody's touching you. But there was a difference. This little woman's touch was mixed with faith. It was a touch of faith. Reaching out to trust Jesus in the middle of a crowded street. There was a preacher many years ago called Alexander McLaren, and I love to read his sermons from a way back when. And he wrote this: we may be sure that even though a universe waits before him, and there close-ranked hosts of heaven surround him. He's talking about Jesus. The universe is before him. The ranks of angels are all around him. We can reach out our hand through them all. And they meet our need. Again, I'm going to quote an old hymn. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You know, he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. And it's almost as if the crowd were forgotten. And Jesus treats this sweet woman as if she was the only person alive on earth. And he taught her the important lesson that it was her faith and not her finger that brought her the blessing that she needed. Just got through three of them. We'll look at the other three some other time. But I want to finish just by underlining Luke. He's the master. Obey him. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. He's the master. Trust him to get you through. He's the master. Draw near to him. Look, if he's been speaking to you this morning and you're not saved, and I say to you, get saved. Trust him today. Reach out to him. And he will save you. It was the Master who said, come to me, all of you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.